Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I want to invite you, if you will, to open in your New Testament to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. In our study this evening, we're going to talk a little bit about holiness. We've been singing about it in songs that we have had up to this point. And I think this is an important subject for us to discuss, one that is important for us to understand. And especially in light of what the writer of the Hebrew letter says here in chapter 12 and verse 14, where he says, "Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord." Or in other words, if you put, and you know, just restate that, no one is going to heaven who doesn't strive for holiness. That makes it an important subject for us to understand, doesn't it? And one thing I think we need to understand is that holiness is something that's not necessarily valued in the society in which we live. It's okay to be religious. Folks seem to be fine with that. But to be holy is another thing entirely in the minds of many people. And judging by the way some people use the word holy, you'd think that we were talking about something that we ought to avoid at all costs, the way our world sees it. Because no one in our world wants to come across as, you know, holier than other people. In fact, to accuse someone of having a holier-than-thou attitude really is just it's a first-class insult in our world. And I recognize that it is wrong for us to see ourselves as better than other people, and it is wrong for us to look down our noses at them as though we have no faults of our own. But the Scriptures tell us that as God's people, we had better be intent on being holier than the people of the world around us. At least if we want to see the Lord, that needs to be the case. So one translation says here in Hebrews 12 and verse 14, "Anyone whose life is not holy will never see the Lord." And so as we begin to talk about this subject this evening, I want us to talk about taking the time to be holy. And as we start to look at it, I want us to first talk about the meaning of holiness. What is it that we're talking about here? And the first thing we need to understand about holiness is that in some sense of that expression, holiness really is God's work. He is the one who makes people holy. He has set us apart to be His own special people. And that word holy is part of a family that you might not recognize when you look just at the English words that are used to translate it. It's related to words like sanctification and even the word saint. A saint is simply a holy one. And the basic concept that is inherent in this word family is the idea of separation. They all have to do with being set apart in some way. And that's why I said a moment ago that God has set us apart to be His own special people. That's at least one of the ways that He makes us holy. He is the one who does that, who sets us apart for Himself. And one thing we need to recognize is that none of us are worthy of that. If you belong to God, if you are a saint, if you are a holy one, it's not because there was something about you that made you more appealing to God than the other people who are in the world. And our position as God's people is similar in many ways to Israel's position as God's people in Old Testament times. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, and beginning in verse 6, the Lord would talk to the children of Israel about him, about them being His treasured possession. And He would say to them, in Deuteronomy 7, verse 6, beginning, "You are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for His treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth." But then He goes on to tell them a little bit about how that came to be or why it was. He says, "It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set His love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that He swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. It's not because you were an impressive people that I took you to be my own," the Lord says. "It's because of my love and because of the promises that I made." And I'll tell you, it wasn't because, you know, in our case, the same thing can be said. It's not because God looked down and He saw something in us and He chose us because of those redeeming qualities that we had. He chose us because of His love for us and because, again, of the promises that He had made long ago. And so the people who belong to God are the people who have been set apart. They've been set apart in Christ. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, he addressed his letter to those sanctified, set apart in Christ Jesus, called to be saints or holy ones, together with all who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been sanctified or set apart in Christ Jesus, he said. And the way that took place, Paul would talk about that in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. He would say there that as many of us as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's how we got into Christ and became part of those who belong peculiarly to God. That's how that took place. That's how people get into Christ. And that's when a person is set apart by the Lord. And so holiness is God's doing. But the second thing that we need to understand about holiness is that in another sense, you can say that it is our work. And what I mean by that is that if we are ever going to truly be people who are holy, it will be because we have chosen to be people who are holy. Holiness is something for which we must strive, or something that we must pursue. That's what we read in that passage from Hebrews chapter 12 in verse 14. We are to strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. We must strive for that, the writer of Hebrews tells us. Now, I want to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 for a moment and want to notice something that Paul says. That Paul, the letters that Paul wrote to them, to the Corinthians, I believe offer us some important lessons on the subject of holiness. They had been sanctified in Christ, as we saw a moment ago. And that was God's doing. God had set them apart. But they also had a part in that as well, we learn. Inasmuch as they responded to the call of the gospel, first of all. But the thing I want you to see right now is that Paul also pointed out to them what was expected of them as God's people, as those who had been set apart. And he does that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in verses 16 and following. He says to them, what agreement has the temple of God with idols first? He says, for we are the temple of the living God. And as God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. And then I will welcome you and I will be a father to you and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. You notice Paul began by pointing out that great privilege again that is ours to, as a result of the fact that we belong to God. God promises to dwell with us and to walk among us. He is our God and we are his people, and we need to recognize the great privilege that that is. But we also need to recognize the responsibility that that places upon us. As he says there in verse 17, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord. Don't be like everybody else is the idea behind that. What Paul is saying is that those who have been set apart from God and made to be his own special people must recognize that they are different and that the world's standards are no longer their standards. That we may live in this world, but we are not to be of this world. And as the Lord would say to Israel all those years before in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 26, you shall be holy to me, for I the Lord am holy and have separated you from the peoples that you should be mine. Be different is the idea. And we need to understand that God didn't set us apart merely so that he could shower his blessings upon us. I mean, he does that. But he set us apart so that we could be like him, ultimately. We are his children. And one thing that is expected of us is that we be like our Father. Peter deals with that some in 1 Peter chapter 1, in verses 14 and following. Peter says there, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you are ransomed from your futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot, he said. Be holy like your Father is holy. And Paul points out that need. Peter points out the need. All the writers of Scripture point out that need. We are to strive for holiness, and we do that at least in part because we are truly God's children. We are to be like our Father. But can there be any doubt that we also do so because of the great gratitude that we have for what God has done for us in making us part of his family and of giving us an identity as his people and of saving us from our sins? We do it to comply with his nature, to truly be the children that he's called us to be. It's what he wants for us. You shall be holy, for I am holy, he says. But with the time remaining this evening, I want us to talk a little bit about the fact that it takes time to be holy. And the first thing that I want you to see is that it takes time to develop holiness. You see, every child of God, whether he's been a Christian for 50 years or for 5 minutes, is holy to the Lord. He has set each of us apart. And each of us belongs to him as one of his special people. But it takes time to develop holiness. And the truth is, it takes a lifetime to develop holiness. It is a lifelong pursuit for the Christian. You know, when Paul wrote to the saints in Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, he talked there about perfecting holiness in the fear of God, or bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. And in saying that, it seems clear to me that it's at least implied that holiness is something that we have to work on. It's something that we have to work toward. Since we are not perfectly holy, we must work on perfecting holiness, of bringing to completion what is lacking in our lives. And I'm not saying that this evening to discourage you in some way. On the contrary, what I hope it does is I hope it helps us to see that our failures, that we're not necessarily failures just because we stumble along the way sometimes, or we're not as far along as we would like to be. None of us should be content with where we are. All of us should be looking forward to becoming better in the future than we've been in the past. And we should never stop trying to grow along those lines. But we need to recognize that this is, by its very nature, a lifelong process, that it takes a lifetime to develop this holiness. And yet I also want you to see that it not only takes a lifetime to develop this holiness, it also takes a day at a time. And what I mean by that is, it takes the consistent effort of day in and day out working to be the kind of people we're supposed to be. You see, we can't just look at it and say, well, you know, yeah, it takes a lifetime, and so I can just sort of put that off, and eventually maybe I'll get there. That's not it. It's that today I'm going to try to be better than I was yesterday. And tomorrow I'm going to try to be better than I am today. Are we trying to perfect holiness in the fear of God? You know, some people never grow because they don't work at it each day. That's why they don't grow. And so if we're going to be people who are holy, one thing we need to do, first off, we need to have regular contact with God through his word. In fact, it's not possible for us to have holiness or to be holy people unless we have that kind of regular contact with the word of God. There may be days when we miss every now and then, but that ought to be an aberration rather than the norm. Because God's word is the means by which he brings this change about in our lives. And that means that we need to have contact with that word on a daily basis. In John chapter 17 and verse 17, Jesus, as he prayed for his disciples, would say, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." And again, that's a related word. Make them holy in the truth. Your word is truth, is what that's saying. Or in the Old Testament, in Leviticus chapter 20 and verses 7 and 8, The Lord would say, "Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am the Lord your God." Well, how do you do that? Verse 8, "Keep my decrees and follow them. I am the Lord who makes you holy." How do you do that, Lord? By giving you what you need to change who you are so that you can truly belong to me. And so if we're going to be holy people, we need that regular contact with the Word of God. But I want to tell you what, we also need constant contact with God through prayer as well. And I'm not talking about some kind of ritual where we just go through the motions or something like that. I'm talking about where we truly are open and we are honest with God and we pour our hearts out to him. Have you ever heard it said that prayer will either keep you from sin or sin will keep you from prayer? There's a lot of truth in that statement. I wouldn't be surprised if you heard it before. And it's said because it's true. You may have gone through a point in your life when you knew you weren't doing the right thing. At those points in time, were you praying like you should? People don't do that at that point. And on the other hand, at the times in your life when you have grown the most spiritually, did prayer play a part in that? Of course it did. That's how that works. Have you ever found yourself wondering how you're going to get past some problem or some difficulty in your life and begin to make progress spiritually? We may have people who are at that point now. One of the ways to do it, one of the key parts of doing it, is to get on your knees and to pray about it. To go to God and to openly talk to him about the things you struggle with. to do it honestly, to look in the mirror and look at yourself for who you are, and to do it penitently. Lord, I want to be different than I am right now. Seek His forgiveness and tell Him about your struggles and ask Him for His help. Do we do that kind of thing? Do we take time for that as we live in our world with our busy lives? Can we say that we're honestly trying to perfect holiness as we live from day to day? I think that's an important question. But the second thing I want you to see is that not only does it take time to develop holiness, it takes time to practice holiness. And I think that's an important point to make, especially in our society, a society like ours, where, again, everybody is so busy, and sometimes people are simply too busy to be really what God wants them to be. When we talk about taking time to be holy, we're talking about making holiness a priority in our lives. We sang the song, song number 118, Take Time to Be Holy. And just think with me again about some of the things we sang a moment ago. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in Him always and feed on His word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing His blessings to seek. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend time in secret with Jesus alone. Abiding in Jesus like Him thou shalt be. Thy friends and thy conduct His likeness shall see. And we go through and we look at all these things that are talked about there. And sometimes people may look at that and say, you know, I just don't have time for all of that. And that's a lot of stuff. A lot going on. But the truth is that each of us has precisely the same amount of time as anyone else has during the course of a day. The same time that people in times past, that's 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, or 4,000 years ago. Time is a commodity. We have in equal amounts. And so again, what we are talking about here is a question of priorities. What comes first in our lives? What are we doing with the time that we've been given? What is it that we will do even if we have to sacrifice everything else? What do we put at the top of the list? Is it going to be the Lord, or is it going to be something else? See, if someone were to take an honest look at your life, what would they say? What would they say is the highest priority about who you are? They say, well, no question, it's the job. Or certainly it's the family. What would it be? What would it be if they looked in on your life at 7 o'clock on Wednesday? What would they say is the highest priority at that time? I want you to think for a moment about someone you consider to be truly holy. You just have in your mind this person that you think they've got it together. They are the person that they're supposed to be. And hopefully we all have someone who comes to mind. Let me ask you a question. What makes that person stand out in a crowd? And sometimes even stand out in a crowd that is made up of Christians. What is it about that person? Is it not his or her approach to life that does that? A godly person may not have as much time to watch television as other people do. They may not have as much time to go to the movies as other people do. They probably have no time for some of the movies that are out there because they're not fit to be watched. And they don't have as much time to go fishing or to go shopping or to do other things. Why? Because there are things that are more important. Sometimes they don't even have as much time to sleep because there are things that must be done that have to do with honoring God and helping His people. And none of the things that we talked about there are necessarily wrong. But one thing you can say about all of those things is that they consume time. Isn't that true? And as innocent as they may be, and as pleasurable as they may be, they eat away at the time that we're allotted. And again, we all have the same amount to work with in the course of a day. And we have to ask ourselves sometimes, where are we going to spend it? You know, it bothers me when the Lord gets pushed aside for things that, in the whole scheme of things, don't really matter. Or even when He gets pushed aside for things that are only relatively important at best. And one of the great things that trouble me is when parents make it difficult for their children to be faithful and really to ever be faithful to God because they never personally show them that this is what true commitment looks like. I tell you, there may be exceptions to this, but it is not likely that our children will ever be more faithful than we are. We will set the bar for that. And the question we need to ask is, what is it that we want for them? What example do we want to give them? And so we desperately need to learn to put service to God where it belongs, and that's at the top of the list of priorities in life. When Paul wrote to the church in Rome, he used some very forceful language to describe the responsibility we now have to live in a way that's pleasing to God, and he did it at more than one point in the letter. In chapter 6 of the letter, when Paul contrasted our former life in sin with the life that we are to live now, he would say there in Romans chapter 6 and verse 19 that just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness leading to sanctification or leading to holiness again. I want to tell you what, there may be a number of things that could be said about slavery. But one thing you could never say about slavery is that it was a part-time job. It was a full-time, 24/7 job, and there was never a time when a slave was not bound by the will of his master to put his master first. And that's what Paul is trying to get across to us when he says that you are now to present your members as slaves to righteousness leading to holiness. That's how it is for us. Everything we do must be done as those who present their members as servants or as slaves of righteousness to holiness. That's who we're to be. But another passage where Paul used this kind of forceful language to describe the responsibility we now have to live in a way pleasing to the Lord is found a little bit later in the letter, chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. And Paul says there, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship or your reasonable service or however your translation renders that. Let me ask you a question. When Paul says that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, I'm just going to make an astounding statement here. It shouldn't surprise us to find that offering our bodies as living sacrifices, that is going to demand of us some sacrifices. I know, basic concept, right? But do we forget that sometimes? Do we forget that part of being a Christian, that part of living as a disciple, that part of being a saint, a holy one, is that our very lives are to be lived as a sacrifice to the Lord? We're not able to have things our way. God's will comes first. And doing His will must be the highest priority in our lives. To be holy is to be set apart. And if you're a Christian, God has set you apart to belong to Him in a special way. And not only does that provide us with many remarkable blessings, and it certainly does, we read about them all through the Scriptures, but it means that we can no longer live for ourselves. And it means that our pattern for living is God Himself and His Son Jesus. And it means that when the things of this world come in conflict to the service of God, we choose the service of God. And it means that we can't go through life haphazardly and just sort of doing whatever we want to do, that we have to search God's word and we have to go to Him in prayer and we have to choose not only to avoid evil but to do good and even to look for what is best above everything else. And so the question tonight is this: are you giving the Lord your best? Are you pursuing holiness, or have you been content merely with just kind of the status quo? Don't settle for that. As the writer of Hebrews said, striving for holiness, it's really the only way we're ever going to see the Lord. And if you don't belong to Him this evening, will you obey the gospel of Christ? Will you repent of your sins and confess Christ as the Messiah, as the Savior of the world, and will you put Him on in baptism? Jesus said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. We're baptized into Christ, and that's how we come to have that relationship with Him. And God will set you apart as one of His special people, and you can follow Him each day of your life until you see Him in heaven. And isn't that why we're here? Isn't that what we want? That when everything has been said and done, that we find ourselves in the presence of the Lord. And I don't believe anybody who finds themselves in that position is going to say, you know what I went through to get here wasn't worth it. It will be worth it no matter what we have to do. And so let's make the Lord a priority.